I'm Jamal, and you're listening to Gas in the Mecha, your weekly anime and manga analysis podcast. From inspiring arcs to game-changing cinematography, I'm on a journey to try and make sense of it all, episode by episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Gas in the Mecha, and in today's episode, we are back on episode 103, talking about animation direction. This is something I've kind of been slowly building towards with my mid-year review and I suppose the Sunny Boy episode last week. I've kind of been talking about why this is an important thing, but I haven't really gone into depth as to what makes it so important and gone into depth about animation direction. This isn't an explained episode. And none of these podcasts are, but I want to talk about, I will obviously cover the very basics of what it is, but I really want to get down to its effects and what it does for us as a viewer in affecting our experiences and how we understand said anime. So without further ado, here is the episode for this week. That is episode 103 of Gas in the Mecha, a look into animation direction and its effects. Just a little disclaimer, even though I'm sure you know this, but I'm not an expert on this topic or these topics regarding animation and so forth. There are several better people that I'd recommend talking to, those that actually work in the anime pipeline and so on. I'm just really trying to talk about it from the perspective of learning about it in terms of its impacts and how that affects our readings on a series or what we enjoy watching, as opposed to learning about its genuine place in the pipeline and learning about how the pipeline works. This is not really meant to be a super educational podcast from that perspective. With that being said, it would be a bit wrong to talk about animation direction without actually having some sort of a basis or knowledge of what it is. And so essentially, animation direction is a part of the larger anime pipeline, or at least the process of making anime. And the anime production process features a series of checks. This includes checks from the episode director and a really crucial one being the animation director. The job of the animation director is kind of in the name. They check animation. And what they mostly do and what they're mostly known for, and kind of what a lot of this podcast will be based on, is the fact that they can apply corrections to the work of animators and the animation that is coming out from them. They can even go as far as even redrawing parts of the cut. But enough on these semantics and stuff. Every now and then we get episodes of anime where the animation director really makes themselves known. And as a result, the entire mood of the episode changes. Well, at least for me, it does. And in a lot of cases, these episodes can really shape the identity of the show. And honestly, I've come to realize that some of my favorite anime kind of involve this. I've had quite a few experiences, which I'll get to in this episode, that really changed my view of anime and, again, animation and direction as a result of these episodes. We'll get some takeaways later on why this is so important, but I really want to show you the meat of it and show you where my obsession with animation direction really started to begin. And these, again, quote, revolutionary episodes that really change up the shows. And that really began with the Hakenden episode 10, which is part of the two-part Hakenden OVA series. And this part, the second part, this is part two of the Hakenden. It shows the conclusion to a long story of these eight dog warriors. It's quite a historical drama sort of thing. I'm going to be honest and say that a lot of the Hakenden went over my head. I did watch it properly. I watched all of it. I was listening. It didn't really click with me very much. And I'm not going to lie and say that it's my favorite anime ever. However, this episode isn't really about narrative, but from the perspective of animation, the 10th episode is nothing short of an exemplary piece of anime, really. The 10th episode is storyboarded and directed by, of course, the legendary animator Shinya Ohira, and has another industry legend as animation director and one I'm sure we're all aware of, being Musuke Yuasa. Yuasa's corrections and modifications to the designs in this episode, as these, again, when I'm talking about animation direction, I'm talking mostly about these drastic changes. Animation direction obviously is a thing on or animates how anime functions, but I'm talking specifically about these big these big changes made. And Yuasa's modifications to the designs in this episode are on a completely different level, and it takes the show to a different level. The incredibly like uneven balance he gives to the face gives it this much more natural and visceral look, as well as of course the very human looking teeth with individual teeth as opposed to, you know, anime. We're not usually used to having separate teeth. We'll have a, you know, a chunk of them all together. It's a white line basically. And Yuasa kind of breaks those conventions and shows us a world that is perhaps much more darker and, you could argue, more realistic. He almost forces us to take notice of all these different elements and force us to take notice that he is an animation director, and that feels like a really big power move, I'm not gonna lie. And that's saying a lot, considering again this is next to Shinya Ohira is no just regular animator. This is arguably one of the best animators in the world, and Yuasa makes his presence really known through his corrections. So I think watching that episode not too long ago really sparked this love for getting really, or at least thinking quite a lot about animation direction and looking at the animation direction credit. I think you can view these episodes in two ways. You can view them kind of as they stick out and like, what is this? This isn't really vibing with the consistency of the show. And that really comes from a view in which, if you view anime as a, well, needing to be a completely consistent product, then perhaps you might have a point. But if you view it as a bit more experimental and flexible, like me, then I think you can also view it as pushing the material further and giving the artist the opportunity to lift and elevate specific ideas and emotions. And that's exactly what I feel like the Hakenden does in this episode and in a few other episodes, maybe not through animation direction itself, but through other means as well, and having these really great, talented artists take on certain parts. Part of it I'd also say is a bit dry, but that's another episode for another day. I don't want to really do a Hakenden podcast. But moving on from the Hakenden, I think the idea of having a consistent product really brings me nicely to another animation director, and someone who I might even call a fan favorite animation director, and one that's gotten quite a lot of attention lately on the Gridman series alongside Promare, and that is of course Kai Igarashi. Kind of like Yuasa's animation direction work, I feel like Igarashi's is also incredibly recognizable because of how much it stands out relatively to both the other animation directors' corrections on the show, but also just what this show has kind of built up. To be fair, in the case of SSSS Dino Zenon, that is going to be really hard to say multiple times, but in the case of that show, I think because we already got used to his style on Gridman, Dino Zenon episode 10 perhaps doesn't completely shock you out of nowhere as to how this show looks, but even so, it looks beautiful and definitely one of my highlights of 2021 in terms of anime. Again, similarly to our Yuasa example, Igarashi really just makes their presence known right from the beginning. I can't even begin to tell you how hyped and excited I was when I first saw the first scene of their episode, quite literally. At the beginning of Dino Zenon episode 10, you have the Kaiju Eugenicists all standing in a line, and all their uniforms look slightly different, and that's something I also really love about this. And again, it only comes out of if you view anime as this potentially like inconsistent product. When the thing with Kai Igarashi's AD is that not every shot has the same consistency. One scene though looks one way, and then you kind of come back and then they look slightly different. It's not the faces look exactly the same, just scaled down based on distance. They're I don't say they're always different, but a lot of the time they are. And again, some people would maybe have an issue with this, but I love the inconsistency. I love how drawn it feels. It feels authentic and as if it's made by people. Something that I, again, always have loved about anime, just knowing that it's made by people and seeing them almost communicate with the audience silently through their drawings is just really fascinating, and Ikarashi's animation direction is just another great example of this. I would say it's perhaps a bit more consistent with the traditional I don't really like saying traditional, but at least what people are used to when it comes to triggers, outputs, what they know from, say, the likes of Sushio or Yo Yoshinari or Ichigo Kano, for example. This kind of fits that train of thought. I think animation direction, again, is really important, and these modifications to the designs, at least these more radical ones, can be really great for changing how we understand emotions in the episode, and just simply changing the shapes and almost style temporarily of said drawing can really do that, and Ikarashi taps into that. Considering the premise of episode 10, which concerns the emotions of the past and the experiences which shape the Dino Zenon pilots, we can argue that Ikarashi's take on these designs really help uplift these ideas of, again, the past and our own emotions and so on, by just having much more expressive looks and faces. And again, just the shape and everything just looks slightly more punchy, I guess. And the same even goes for the distance models as well, where we could see these, because of how, I want to say, snappy the designs are, we're able to see, or at least how they're approached, not just in the corrections, but through his own animation as well, we're able to just really get a great understanding of what they're feeling almost at all times, even if it's from a massive distance away. And then finally, the show that I really wanted to speak about this episode being Space Dandy, and the final case study for this episode. The show is often labeled an anthology because of how different every episode is, and honestly, they have a point. Featuring some pretty famous animators and animation directors like Kiyotaka Oshiyama, Masaki Yuasa, Yoshimichi Kamada, Gosai Oda, Hiroyuki Ayama, and the list goes on. What comes with that is a diverse and massive range of approaches in this anime, and that's why I mean that creativity is something you can really kind of learn about from Space Dandy, because it's pretty much a test of how creative these creatives can really get. Kamada's AD work, for example, is really fitting with their style as this, quote, neo-Kanada school animator, or arguably a Kanada-style hybrid animator. There's so much definition in the heavy lines to help them portray Dandy as this, like, hardened man of culture, when in reality he's a total goofball, doesn't know what he's doing at any time at all. Honestly, I think that contradiction is really beautiful, and I think we have to start thinking about how, and I'll say this in the takeaways, how animation can kind of contradict the message, but in a good way. Animation is very much a part of communicating messages and ideas, kind of just like writing. And once you tap into that, I think animation direction is a great place to start tapping into that. I think anime becomes so much more interesting as a result. And then on the opposite end, we have Kiyotaka Oshiyama, a creative you may be aware of from works like Flip Flappers, which he directed, as well as Deno Coil, which he featured as an animation director in several episodes on. That Oshiyama, though, I'd say, at least not Flip Flappers, I haven't watched Flip Flappers yet, but Deno Coil, I'd say that is a very different Oshiyama versus what we get in Space Dandy. Oshiyama in Space Dandy is so so unchained, and you can tell the amount of freedom they got because they've really went to town with the corrections and really went to town with really making this episode, putting their stamp on this on the episodes in which they're on. What I've always found so pleasant about Kiyotaka Oshiyama's work is how rounded and perhaps bubbly the facial corrections are, and the corrections to the body and characters in general. They work on Eung Choi's episode, which is a really phenomenal episode, by the way. And I think it also is a bit of a contradiction, because Eung Choi's episode is kind of about them going to a planet in which has these plants that live, and they actually have a really, like, profound story about their life and how they kind of weren't supposed to evolve as far as they were, and then they kind of de-evolve at the end. Spoilers, by the way, but I think you kind of just have to see the episode for yourself. And that episode kind of, again, has a bit of a contradiction. It's like this goofball in with a very goofy look, but in a kind of serious and quite sublime environment. And that episode really evokes a lot of emotions, and you kind of get to see that. I think the very diverse approach to animation direction, animation in general, and Space Dandy is a really great example and is symbolic of the infinite possibilities that space has to offer and provide. I think those working on it, particularly, of course, Shingo Natsume, the main director, as well as Shinichiro Watanabe, the chief director, understood that in order to really portray the galaxy and perhaps the universe as expansively as possible, and to show how diverse and, again, vast it is, you really have to give the visuals a look as well as just the writing. You can write space as massive, you can showcase it as massive, but from the visual point of view and to show again how infinite this place is, you kind of have to allow the artists to explore what infinite is to them and showcase every other possibility they could come up with. It really goes to show that a slight change in a single credit can change your entire view of an anime episode. We're getting to the end of the podcast, which means it's time for some takeaways. So what are the fake deep things that I can come up with when it comes to animation direction? I think animation direction points out something really important about how we view anime and animation, but also how we view direction as a whole. When it comes to animation and the anime pipeline, I think we tend to think of it as, or sometimes as, the studio or even just the team. But I think my view when looking more closely at animation direction has shifted towards thinking of it as a collection of talented individuals or creative individuals. What exactly do I mean by that? They are kind of similar, I know, borderline the same. What I mean by that is that I think that each individual brings their individual experiences, influences, their artistic outlook, their outlook on the world, and how they understand the medium of animation and provide it to set products or set projects, sorry. And as a result, I think that that's why you get works like Space Dandy. And you can't really get that without that vision. And hence, I think viewing it as a studio doesn't really capture the creative potential of the individuals on the project. In terms of direction, I think the big takeaway from looking at animation direction is really how intricate direction can be and how refined it is in how it goes beyond just, you know, shot this, shot that, and moving through an episode. It's a common thing also when people talk about adaptations as well, and even though, yeah, we are speaking mostly about original anime in this episode, I kind of even did that unintentionally, but even when it comes to adaptations, often people talk about, yeah, manga are just storyboards, right? Just do the same thing, when in reality it's not that, it's much more intricate, it's a craft. And the same thing for animation direction as well, I'm starting to appreciate it, I think, more as a craft. It's not just lines, it's what lines are you using, it's how thick are the lines, where are the lines, what are the proportion of the lines, all the lines, even, are they, not even, all these things matter. And animation direction has started to really teach me how important, again, how refined animation is and how direction is as a whole. As cheesy as it sounds, I think we have to read into the lines. We have to read between the lines and read what the lines mean as well, because there is so much value to be extracted, and animation direction is a really great start to learn more about this. With that cheesy quote out of the way, that is this episode done for this week. Thank you for listening. If you did enjoy it, I would always appreciate it if you left a like, if you subscribed, if you reviewed it, if you told people about this podcast online, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever. Spread the word about Genin the Mecha. That would really help me out. And if you want to catch me out of this podcast, because I hardly promote my Twitter these days, because I don't think I really need to, but if you really want to see me outside of just talking on a video every week or talking into your ears every week, then feel free to follow me on Twitter. That is at Getin the Mecha, just same name as my YouTube name, so be sure to check that out. I tweet a lot about animation and stuff, as you would expect. And yeah, it's a fun time. So thank you for listening. I have been Yoshimaru today. Sorry for, again, another late episode. Trying to make sure it's not a 2-week gap, though. That's one thing I'm not trying to ensure. And thing again, it was really just moving the setup and this new setup, but I think things are looking smoother now, so expect an episode next week, as always. So that was episode 103. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week. The music in this production goes as follows: Mandatory Overtime by Joth, and Synthwave by Alex McCulloch.